Good morning. My name is Mike. This is The Odd Pod, and today we have a special guest all the way from England. His podcast is called The British Murders. His name is Stuart Blues, and we will be talking about, wait for it, podcasting. Now, this is pretty much the unedited version, so everything you hear here is here. That makes sense? So, go grab a cuppa, sit back, enjoy the show, and let me know what you think.
Okay. Hey, it's Mike from The Odd Pod, and we have here Stuart from the British Murders Podcast, and he's going to explain to us what his podcast is all about, though I think you probably already have an idea.
Yeah, hi everyone. It's Stuart Blues. I'm the host of British Murders Podcast. It's quite a new true crime podcast which focuses exclusively on British murder cases. So rather than some of the more notorious sort of serial killers and murder cases you might have known about, such as, you know, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, all these kind of guys in North America, I wanted to focus on some of the, not only the British ones, but the lesser known ones, someone that people in the UK might not have even heard of as well. So that's kind of my niche that I'm going for, if that makes any kind of sense.
Oh, sure does. And now, how are you researching these if they're kind of rare and unknown?
So what I kind of do is there's some I have in my head that I want to cover, or a friend might recommend me and say, this is a really interesting case. You might want to cover this on the show and I'll take a look at it. Generally, on Wikipedia, I know some people hate Wikipedia, but it's good for getting an idea of a list of sort of serial killers kind of thing. And it breaks down murder cases by year, by notoriety is the word. And I just pick one that's interesting. And then what I do from there is I'll go on Google and do a search, and you might come across a local media outlet that's covered the case, or like Wikipedia, there's places called Murderpedia and Killerpedia, and then you've got True Crime Society, Crime and Investigation, and I think those are the main. Oh, there's Murder UK is a website as well, and it's like an encyclopedic database of every single murderer in the history of, well, life to this day, British or otherwise.
I wonder why it's so fascinating to some people, because there's a lot of true crime podcasts out there, yeah. And I follow a few of them myself. Like, there's one called Wine and Crime, where these two ladies get drunk and just talk about crimes, which I find hilarious.
Yeah.
And then, there's a few I follow, but it usually has a two-host environment, I guess, because they just like to bounce off each other. So how often do you publish, and is it just you? Like, I heard some of it. It sounded really interesting, but I'm just curious, how often do you publish? And
so it comes out. It comes out weekly. So what I've done is, like yourself, I'm interested in true crime podcasts, of course, and I've got ones that I listen to regular. But what I took was my preferences based on what I've heard so far, and tried to figure out, because it is quite a saturated market with the amount of true crime podcasts out there, that there's loads, there's absolutely loads. So I thought, how can I make mine different? So not only is it focusing just on the British aspect and more lesser known of the British cases, but I also keep my recording time between 15 and 30 minutes. It's quite a bite-sized overview of the cases, where a lot of them, it's a bit of a deeper dive and you might be 1 to 2 hours. Sometimes if I'm driving somewhere and it's 30 minutes or an hour away, I don't have time to come back to it. So my theory was, it's easier to binge a podcast that is 15 to 30 minutes and you can just listen to one after the other and get through a full season. Because I'm doing seasons in episodes of 10 episodes. So I recorded 10 episodes before I published, in the theory that if I release them once a week, I'll have 10 weeks to record season 2. And that will be the continuing cycle, because I've done a podcast before where we did it week by week, and it's just a nightmare to produce.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it is challenging, it's difficult, and it's exciting. But from what we did was an interview style similar to yours. But I think the benefit that you've got is it's just yourself. Whereas I was having it with, there was me and my buddy, and then we had a third guy come in who was doing the editing. And I'm a little bit of a control freak when it comes to what goes out and is my content, essentially. So in a way, I did kind of take over the podcast, and ultimately it led to the other two guys. They had a lot going on in their personal lives, as we all have in 2020, That other one's on hiatus at the moment, and I thought it's a good chance for me to learn from that experience, but also to, because that was quite generic, whereas I like yours is like I'm interviewing podcasters, so you've got a little bit of a niche there. Ours was literally three guys talking about whatever they wanted.
Or yeah, that's a hard market.
Yeah, it is. It's too generic. Whereas if you have that niche, you have that fan base, and it's easier to market yourself. It's easier to get fans on board, I'm finding now, through this one. Excuse me.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So now, what podcast do you like to listen to?
So I, as much as I like true crime, this sounds stupid, seeing as I'm the host of a true crime podcast, but I'm very particular in the host's voice. But also, like, if it's a couple of people talking and they're having a drink and stuff, if I get on board with their sort of camaraderie, that's fine, you know. But for me, I like a narrative-based podcast. Something. So what I've tried to do is focus the events chronologically, and it's all fact-based rather than me giving my opinion on, you know, if someone, for example, my first episode is on a cannibal, and he was caught frying the brain of his second victim, just nonchalantly frying his brain on the frying pan. And I could easily chip in and say, you know, that's disgusting, he's bang out of order, blah, blah, blah. But for me, I think that's quite, I want to keep it objective rather than subjective. So the ones I like to listen to, my favorite one is probably Medical Murders at the moment, which is one that Parcast produced. They do quite a lot of good podcasts. And it's about, it is true crime, but it's all based on doctors, people who work in the medical field, and how they've used their Hippocratic Oath and they've just gone against it.
That would be interesting. I'll have to get that link off you later.
Mm. It's quite, well, it's been out for a few months now, but it's fairly new. They do an episode per week, and it's always in two parts. So the first episode they did was on Dr. Harold Shipman. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
So he's, if you look him up, you'll think, how did I not know this guy? But he's a British, or was a British doctor, and he is the most prolific serial killer in history. So the amount of people he killed whilst a GP, a general practitioner, is in the hundreds. And that's only the ones that they can prove.
Wow, really? Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's a British guy that hosts it, which obviously helps because I want to hear a British guy doing well. But the other guy that it has on is a doctor, an American doctor. I think he's based in California. And he breaks down any medical jargon for you on a real sort of entry level. So if you've got no prior knowledge of medical history or going to the doctors regular, he breaks it down for you perfectly. So it's a good combination with the two. So that's my favorite one at the moment.
Okay. And what else are you listening to?
So I listen to conspiracy theories.
Oh God, dude, we're on the same train.
Yeah. That's another podcast. It's just called Conspiracy Theories. I don't know if you've heard of it, but that's a male and a female American host. I think they're American. And they break down a conspiracy theory every Monday and Wednesday. So what they do is, for part one, they'll go through what the theory is, or what the actual, for example, they did one recently on the Bermuda Triangle. So they did a lot of, you know, this plane went missing, this boat went missing, X, Y, and Z. And then in part two, they will discuss the theories, and they will rate the theories out of 10 as to how likely they are to be actually feasible. So they'll
that
say,
must be, that's a lot of research to do two episodes in 1 week.
It is. Now, the thing is, which probably not a lot of people realize, is the famous or the more popular podcasts, the hosts are just that, the hosts. They do nothing. They don't do the research. They don't write the scripts. They don't produce the audio. All they do is read a script each week. They leave the rest of it to a team of 10, 20, 30 people that goes on behind the scenes. If you listen right to the end of some of these podcasts, most of you turn off after it's finished generally, don't you? But the last minute or two is them saying thank you to so-and-so. The episode was written by these guys, assistant produced by this person, editing done by this guy. And you think, you're struggling to get 15 to 30 minutes each week. And you think, yeah, there's a reason why they can do an hour and a half every week, because they've got a lot of help.
Yeah. Are you doing your own editing on your podcast, I imagine?
Yeah,
well, you have to be. Yeah. You said you're a bit of a control freak. So
Yeah.
And are you doing the editing on your YouTube channel too, or is it just a straight upload and then adding a graphic to it?
Basically, I get the audio, and then once the finalized audio is done on Windows, which is what I use, I sort of, have you heard of Canva?
Yeah.
So I use Canva for all my artwork and stuff. So I do all that as well on the social media. So I just take my square artwork for Instagram, make it into a rectangle that fits YouTube's sort of dimensions. And then on, I think it's just on the photo app on Windows 10, you can click in, add audio to it, and it just combines the two. It's not one of these videos that has moving parts. It's just a still picture. But I'm not really...
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not promoting the YouTube that much, really. It's just an option if some people want to listen to it. Maybe the algorithm will throw it in someone's playlist by accident.
Well, that's, you know, it's the world's second largest search engine. And I know a dozen people that when they commute during the day, they'll listen to YouTube in their car. Like, they'll hit play on the video, like on their phone, and the phone's just face down in the seat, and they're just listening to the audio. Because there's some really interesting interviews and everything else on YouTube, too. So everyone has their thing.
Yeah.
So what kind of mic? Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I do enjoy YouTube to watch stuff like that. But I think from a podcast point, unless you're Joe Rogan, of course, it's quite hard to get your stuff recognized on that platform. It's just there as a backup, just in case anyone wants to use it.
Yeah, I'm a big YouTube fan, actually. I have a second channel where I do like tech reviews. And it has millions of views, millions and millions. And I'm always surprised. I look at the stats some days and you're like, oh, 100,000 views in a month, which is, you know, it's nice, but it's hard to stay on top of, man. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah.
So what kind of mic are you using there? I'm just curious.
So I'm using a Shure SM57 dynamic microphone.
Is that a USB mic or is that an analog mic?
No, it's I've got an external sound card that it has to plug into. I'm not up with the technical jargon, but it's not a USB mic. It's the next one up. So rather than being, I think it's called a condenser mic, these USB mics that get thrown about.
So it's an MXL or something, or it's something like
XLR,
that.
XLR, is that right?
Yeah, the round connector?
Yeah, with three dots in it. Yeah, that one. It's that one.
Oh, that's handy. And then that's going, and you said it goes into a card inside the PC?
Yeah. So that, obviously you'll be able to see this. So that, if I can move it, this goes into an external sound card here. So the
XLR,
mixer, sound card, soundboard, whatever you want to call it. So the mic goes into there via the XLR cable. That goes in via USB into the laptop. And then I use Audacity to record, edit, and master my audio.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Everyone I've been interviewing lately, they're like the 12th or 13th person, I think. And a lot of them, well, very few of them use the same software twice. So there's a few that use Audacity. Like I use GarageBand, but then other guys are all using these one-off programs that I've never even heard of before.
Well, they change it each week.
No. It's like I interview people like you all the time.
From person to person. It
right. So like you yourself is using Audacity. Someone else might be using Audacity. But it seems that everyone so far has been using different software.
Yeah. I think, again, it's one of those things where there's so much out there and everyone wants to use free software the best they can. Audacity is just the first thing that I got recommended by someone who's in, not the music industry, but someone who has like a music or a sound degree. And they said that they did a lot of their work on Audacity, plus it's free. So using that recommendation, and it's just, you know, when you pick something and you just stick with it, I've not explored anything else. There might be something that's more user-friendly to me, but I know what Audacity does. I use it regular and I'm comfortable with it. So I might as well stick with it.
Yeah. And it's good for single channel podcasts, like just yourself. But when you start adding dual channel, like how you and I are talking right now, this would be, well, there's one source here, but one output source, but two inputs. So our voices are going to be kind of combined into one.
Right. Line, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But if you have two independent outputs, like two hosts, both running like a setup like yourself, then Audacity is really good at also separating those. It's not so good at separating something like what you and I are doing though. Like if I have to cut and edit and play with it, then it's a complete pain in the ass.
Yeah. What we used to do when we had two or three of us on my old podcast is we still recorded remotely like you and I are, but we recorded the audio on Zencastr.
Okay.
Rather than Audacity, but we did the editing in Audacity. It's just that if you record in Zencastr, you'll get a separate audio file for each person, even though you're recording remotely. And then you can just use each of the individual files separate. So for example, if I'm taking a sip of this drink and you hear my ice cubes rattle like that.
Yeah.
If it was a separate audio, you could just chop that out and silence it. It depends how much of a perfectionist you are. You know, I like any noise that's not supposed to be there, I will cut out. That's just me. But if it was two separate audios on Zencastr, it's easy to chop out. You can just silence it and just highlight the section and control and L, I think it is, that silences that section.
I could listen to glasses sloshing around all day.
That sound
does not bother me at all.
Yeah, it's a good sound.
So you've got 10 episodes done. You're breaking in your next 10. Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah, so I've got 4 episodes live, but I've recorded and mastered 10 ready to go. So when I launched, which was December 3rd, so just over a week ago, almost 10 days ago now, I learned from my first podcast. I learned from a lot of my mistakes. So when I launched, because my episodes are so short, intentionally, I wanted to release 3 episodes on launch day. So I released a trailer, which is about 30 seconds, just as the trailer, I cheated really. The trailer is the introduction of the show. So it's the same thing. I didn't record anything fresh because I'm too lazy for that. Me and my ego. I recorded these 10 episodes. I wrote the scripts over a period of probably a month or two. Wrote the scripts, recorded them all, edited them all, and the introduction music is a mate of mine called David Brady. He said I could use that music that he just happened to make. He's like a composer. So shout out to Dave for that. And then once I recorded all 10, they are lined up now in Buzzsprout, and they've got scheduled release dates for next Thursday, Thursday after. I think it's up until January the 21st. So I know between now and then, I've got time to write, edit, record, and upload season 2, which is going to be another 10 episodes. But what I'm doing after season 1 is I'm doing a special. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a 2-part episode on one of UK's more notorious serial killers. So I recorded that earlier today. I've written the script a few weeks ago. Finally got around to recording it. So I just need to edit that. I can upload that. So that's 2 weeks. That's one episode, but it's 2 weeks, which gives me a bit of a buffer, knowing that I've got, if I could take a week off, for example, if I wanted to.
And yeah, because you got it in the can.
Yeah, everything. I want to always be 10 weeks ahead if I can, because it's just mentally and with everything that's going on, you don't want to have to worry about, you know, shit, it's Thursday and I've got to put an episode out on Friday. I haven't even got anything, because I don't want to rush and reduce the quality.
Oh, dude, I feel your pain.
So, you know, but I think that the thing is with yours is completely different style, whereas mine is 100% scripted and it needs to fit a certain word count to fit within my 15 to 30 minutes. It's between 2,500 to 3,500 words, basically, depending on how quickly I speak. So that's what I have to aim for. So a lot of it is going to be fluffer, if you like.
Yeah, but you can still take everything that you've already written and put it up on like Medium or a blog post, for example, as well, yeah. And or whatever. But Medium, you'd actually be able to monetize.
Yeah. You know, so what's Medium? Tell me, what's Medium?
It's medium.com, and it's kind of like an unofficial opinions page. For example, for people can go there and they can either write articles, they can write stories, they can write anything. A lot of people, actually, a lot of fairly famous journalists go there and put up articles too, because they monetize it. The other one is called, it's off the top of my head, Substack. Substack is just for journalists, but Medium is open to kind of everybody. You know, so if you have like just a fluff piece, you can put it up there. And sometimes they'll get picked up by other news organizations who will then take those stories and run with them.
Yeah. I'll look into that.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I enjoy that kind of stuff. Okay. So, and you said you hosted Buzzsprout?
Yeah. Buzzsprout is the host. For my other one, I used Podbean, which it's good because for the same price, you get unlimited audio uploads with Podbean, but the user-friendly interface of Buzzsprout is something that it's just more appealing to me. I compare it really with iPhone and Samsung. So for years, I was a Samsung guy, thinking, oh, you know, I know all the technology. If I want to upgrade it, I can upgrade it. I can get unofficial apps and all this kind of stuff. But then you just think, I cannot be bothered with that anymore. And for sake of, so now I'm fully an iPhone guy and I'm fully a Buzzsprout guy, because for sake of ease, if it makes your job easier, then I say do it. I don't need to be worrying about, because Podbean's quite technical with its layout. It's not as pretty, for a better use of a word.
Okay. Yeah, I use Anchor myself. But it was the first option I saw, and I just took it because this is my first podcast. But what was your podcast before this?
So it was called, the stupid thing as well is my podcast now is British Murders. So anyone, like you said at the start, can figure out what it's going to be about.
Right.
Which is quite crucial, I think. And the first one was called Northern Intrigue, which could be anything.
Now, yeah, that sounds Canadian to me.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so we are all from Northern England and we discuss things that we found interesting or intriguing. So to us, it made perfect sense. As a marketing ploy, incredibly difficult. Because if we had on, because we didn't plan on interviewing guests, that just came, it evolved organically. But if you have on one, so for example, the first guy we had on was an aspiring actor. And you think, great, if anyone's into acting, they'll listen to it. The following week, we had a singer-songwriter. And you think, okay, I can't really make that connection, but I'll roll with it. The next guy was a social media producer. And then we had an aspiring author. And then we had a paranormal investigator. We had a composer. We've had quite a good mix because I've got some quite creative friends, luckily. But from from a fan's point of view or a follower's point of view, if you're not into music, for example, you're not going to listen to that episode. Whereas if it's about true crime and British murder cases, every week, you know what you're getting. And if it's only short as well, because we went sometimes an hour and a half on this other one, and the retention of your listener is difficult, especially when there's not a niche. It's quite difficult in that respect.
Yeah, so you definitely learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the other podcast would be interesting as well too, but it would be almost better on like as a YouTube channel, I think, if you're just focusing on one area. Mm-hmm. So you'd almost have to rename it to Northern England News or something like that, or Northern England Creators or whatever.
Yeah. It's on hiatus at the moment, so it's possibly going to be going in a different direction with myself and a new host. But rather than being, and it would probably include a name change and rebranding as well, rather than being an interview style show, it would be sort of more of a satirical news type show. So like you've said, Northern England News is a really good idea. So it's on hiatus at the moment, but there's plans to bring it back at some point, probably in the new year, I would have thought.
Do you have a full-time job or are you like a producer by trade? Oh,
no. I've got a full-time job, yeah. This is all done in my spare time, which I know what you're thinking, two podcasts is just going to double the stress. But there's a reason why it's on hiatus at the moment. The other guy and myself, we're both working. We've both got a lot on. So I think rather than do a weekly thing similar to what you're doing and what I did last time, is we would plan ahead as well. And it might take between 3 and 6 months, you know, to record 10 episodes. But then that would be season one and then take some time away, whereas the one I'm doing is going to be week after week after week after week, but it's going to be 10 episodes, then a special, then another 10, because it's easier to produce on my own. But when there's two of you, both with full-time jobs, both with personal lives, living in different places, it's hard to get that every single week to fit in time to write the episode, to record the episode, to edit it, and, you know, market it. It's going to be incredibly difficult to stick by that schedule to say it's coming out every week. Recording it in advance is going to be the easiest way.
True. And now where do you think that this current podcast is going to go in the future? Like you're setting yourself up for a lot of work here. Like when it comes to a scripted podcast, you have to write it, edit it, speak it, everything, of course. Mm-hmm. Where do you think this is going to go? Like how long do you plan on keeping on doing this? And what is your end game Or do you plan on monetizing it, or are you doing it strictly for fun, or are you just learning some alibis for murder later?
Yeah, I'm learning how to commit the perfect murder. what I'm doing at the moment is for fun, because it's a subject that's always interested me. I think I get that from my mum. So I've always been into true crime, and it's doing the research is great. You know, it's not hard, but it's less enjoyable. I find the recording and the editing a little bit less enjoyable than doing the actual research and writing the script. I'm far from an author or anything. You know, I've got a friend that's aspiring to be an author, and if he looked at how I was writing it, he'd probably laugh in my face. That's just what he's like. But I think long-term, probably monetizing it is the next logical step, but that's not going to be for a while. I'm just trying to establish a fan base at the moment. So I'm basically trawling Twitter every day, searching true crime podcasts, and then whoever mentions that they like true crime podcasts or they're listening to a true crime podcast, I just comment with a little template that I've got that says, I'm not sure if you're looking for any new shows, but this is my show. This is what it's about. If it's your thing, give it a listen. And it's getting quite a good response that way. And that seems like a lot of work as well, but it's because I've got my comment already sort of in my notes on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. It's just a case of copying that and pasting it on all the latest tweets. But it's doing quite well. It's got like over 650 downloads in just over a week.
And wow, really? Like, that is a good number.
Yeah, which is far from what I anticipated. That's almost the number of downloads that I had for the old podcast in total, which is 11 episodes and was going for like 5 months.
And wow, is there any one episode that's making up the bulk of those downloads?
It's I think because when I released on launch day and I had the three episodes at the same time, in all your podcast streaming services, episode 3 is the newest episode. So that was always the first one that people saw. Mm-hmm. So that one has the most clicks. Or you might think, I'll start on the first episode. So people either pick the most recent one or the first one. So the one in the middle, the second one, has the least amount. And the third episode, which is on a Scottish serial killer called Peter Tobin, who was an absolutely nasty piece of work, he's got the most number of downloads. That and the trailer, actually. The trailer's got the same amount of downloads, I think, as episode 3, because naturally people want to check out what the show's about. I know you've got a trailer as well. Mm-hmm. That's what people go to. You know, they'll think, what is it about? This is what it's about. Okay, I'll check it out. But it's been listened to in 39 different countries. How mad's that?
Well, I can see, like I said, that's a very busy category. And now I can see why. Like, if you have that many downloads in this short amount of time, that I can see why so many people are drawn into creating a podcast in that category.
I think a lot of it as well is they can do it. Why can't I do it? Which is exactly correct to think. Because as long as you're dedicated, it's fairly easy to do. The only thing it costs is time. And obviously, if you upgrade your equipment like I have, I used to have a USB microphone, but I decided I wanted my own podcast to have that professional sound because, personal preference. If I hear a podcast, the content might be great, but if it sounds terrible, I'm going to turn off. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I understand. I need to invest in some new gear myself, but it all takes time. Like, I have a Blue Yeti, a USB mic that goes to my MacBook, and I edit it in GarageBand, but it's...
Yeah.
I have mixing boards in my office. That's the thing. I should go grab it. But
yeah. The thing is, though, as well, is that content is king. So in theory, not everyone thinks how I think. Not everyone's as a perfectionist as me, which sounds so arrogant. But some people will listen to a podcast regardless of the quality if the content's good, which is how it should be. Because the last thing that you want people who are aspiring podcasters is to think, I can't get into the game because I can't afford the equipment. That shouldn't put anyone off. You could record a podcast on Anchor on your phone with your iPhone headphones and speaker, and it'll sound good enough to be listenable, if that's even a word. So if anyone is listening and wants to be a podcaster, don't let the cost of equipment put you off starting. Just start. It's just better to, whether it's scripted or not, just start recording stuff. Send it to your mates and see what they think. That's what I did. I said I had the first three episodes down that I knew I was going to release. I sent five mates episode 1. another five episode two. So it was variety. And then they gave me feedback on it. So I knew what I needed to improve and what didn't work, for example. And then, you know, you're ready to go then before anyone, because in theory, your friends are your best resource. They're comfortable enough to be honest with you. So yeah, I think it's crucial. Yeah. Well, yeah. But that's a good thing. You know, brutal honesty is only going to improve the quality of the content, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, dude. I think we hit everything we need to hit here. I really appreciate your time. Where can people find you online? Like, where's your most active social platform?
It's Spotify. So if you search British Murders, it'll come up on Spotify. That's me going real English on Spotify. And it's on everything. I just got an email today saying it's on Pandora. We don't really use that over here, but I know in America they do. I don't know if they do in Canada much, but
it's in my car. Pandora's one of the apps.
My friend lives in New York. He has it in his car, but we don't really have Pandora over here. Mm-hmm. But my main streaming service is Spotify. I mean, that's where I've got my most listens.
Yeah, well, Spotify owns Anchor as well.
Does it?
Yeah. They don't own Buzz. What'd you say? Buzzsprout?
Buzzsprout, yeah.
Yeah. They don't own that as far as I know, but Anchor owns Spotify. Other way around. Spotify owns Anchor. And Anchor is like, that's why Spotify says that they're the king of podcasts, because everyone uploads to Anchor because it's free and such. Mm-hmm. But my problem is like 58% of all podcasts on Anchor are inactive. Like, they haven't uploaded in 90 days or more.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, interesting stats to always dive into. But, dude, I really appreciate your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Saturday night.
Thank you.
Have a few more of those wobbly pops.
Oh, yeah. There'll be more of these to come. But I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been nice to chat to you.
Yeah. Well, I plan on doing this. I'd like to come back maybe in a year and see how your growth has been.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I enjoy this kind of stuff. I just enjoy podcasts in general, and I have a wide spectrum of what I listen to. Mm-hmm. So whenever I see someone new, and then I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to talk to this person and see what they think.
Yeah. No, man, we'll definitely hook up in a year. That's cool by me.
Yeah, maybe you'll have two kids by then.
Let's not push it.
All right, sir. It's nice talking to you. Thanks for your time, and cheers, I'll let you know when this comes up live.
Cool. Thank you.
Enjoy your night. Take care.
Cheers.
Now, tell me what you think. I really enjoyed that interview. I thought it went really well. I'm looking forward to talking to Stuart again, maybe in a year or less. And I could not believe how popular the true crime genre is. But I guess that explains why there's so many podcasts in that genre. So join us in a few days or next week or whenever we do another one. If you would like to be on the Odd Pod, all my information is below. Shoot me an email and let's talk. Thanks for listening.